The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. Behold, a lawyer stood up to put Jesus to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him. And whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Were someone to ask you, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" how would you answer? You might think to respond, echoing the words Peter proclaimed on Pentecost, when cut to the heart by his sermon, the people asked, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter responded, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Were someone to ask me, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" I might respond, "Everything and nothing." Everything, because the scriptures teach, whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. Or as Jesus says more succinctly, you must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. So to inherit eternal life, you must do everything the law requires, or nothing. Nothing, because the scriptures say, by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Indeed, St. Paul writes, by works of the law, no human being will be justified in God's sight, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So if the emphasis is on a person's doing, the answer of Scripture is everything. And if the emphasis is on inheriting eternal life, the answer is nothing. As we hear in the Gospel reading, when an expert in the Old Testament asked Jesus, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus didn't give an immediate answer. Rather, he asked 2 questions. What is written in the law? And how do you read it? As one might expect of a scholar of Scripture, this man answered by quoting Scripture, specifically Deuteronomy and Leviticus, giving an answer Jesus himself would provide on another occasion. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Jesus commended the man for his response. You've answered correctly, he said. Then he continued, do this, and you will live. Do this, and you will live. This man's question focused on what he must do. It was a question of the law. And that's the sort of answer Jesus gave, one that followed the way of the law. But the law isn't about inheriting salvation. Whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may be held accountable to God, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. Thus, in directing this man to the law, Jesus was revealing this man's sin to him, leading him to recognize that nothing he did or didn't do would be able to result in his inheriting salvation. The man's next question showed that he wasn't at peace. He wasn't confident that he would inherit eternal life. His request for further clarification concerning the term neighbor makes this clear. Very simply, if you don't know precisely what a law requires of you, you cannot be certain you've obeyed it. So in asking, who is my neighbor, he showed that the law has been doing its accusing work in his heart. Now, obviously, the law's work in him wasn't done yet, because he thought to justify himself. It hadn't yet succeeded in stopping his mouth. Nevertheless, while he might not have been ready to confess, I am a sinner in need of the Lord's mercy, neither was he content that all was well with his soul. Uncertainty kept him from peace and confidence. Who is my neighbor? The Pharisees of Jesus' day answered this question more or less narrowly. Some would have said that in this context, neighbor refers to fellow Jews. Others, only to fellow Jews who were pious, thereby excluding tax collectors and public sinners from consideration as neighbors. The answer Jesus gives, which at least suggests that even hated non-Jews should also be seen as neighbors, is far, far more expansive. Indeed, Jesus' question at the end of his account of the compassionate Samaritan looks at the issue from a completely different perspective. Rather than asking, who is my neighbor, which seeks to find the limits of one's obligation, anticipating that some people need not be considered neighbors, that they're outside of the circle, Jesus asks, which of these three proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? Jesus focuses on what it means to be a neighbor. And his answer is that being a neighbor involves having compassion on one in need, showing him mercy. This is how you love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus' final word to the expert in the Old Testament, and to you and me, is, you go and do likewise. Be compassionate to and show mercy to anyone in need. But where does this leave you? To inherit eternal life, you must love God with all your being and your neighbor as yourself. Being a neighbor means showing mercy having compassion. And in all this, what God expects, what he requires, is perfection. When you take what Jesus teaches here to heart, you must despair of ever being able to do enough to inherit eternal life. You're like the beaten and naked victim of the robbers, helpless, and facing certain death in hell. Unless someone has compassion on you and shows you mercy, that someone, the one who proves to be your neighbor, is God himself. Jesus, the eternal God, incarnate as your human brother. Because your most righteous acts are like filthy rags, because your mercy and your compassion fall far short, because at best you love God with only a portion of your heart, soul, strength, and mind, Jesus came to take your place under the law. What you could never do fully, he did perfectly. What he prayed in Gethsemane, "Not my will, Father, but yours be done," characterized everything he did from the time he took on human flesh until he gave up his spirit on the cross at Calvary. Look anywhere in the Gospels, and you will see his overwhelming compassion and mercy. The Good Samaritan risked his life to stop and help where robbers might still attack, spent his money to provide food and shelter for this anonymous victim. Your Good Samaritan not only risked his life, but willingly and knowingly gave it up to pay the price for your selfishness and your lack of love. And having paid the price to rescue you from death and hell, he has brought you into the fellowship of his church. Like the inn, where the Samaritan saw that the victim of the robbers was provided with what was necessary for him to regain health and strength, so in the church, Jesus provides what is necessary for you to survive and grow strong. He gives you his word, in which he warns you against false belief and self-righteousness, while also assuring you of his love and providing firm ground for faith. He also nourishes and strengthens you with his own body and blood given in his supper. By his word and sacraments, and through the fellowship of his people, he showers you with mercy and grace, blessing you so that his mercy and compassion overflow from your life into the lives of others who are bruised and beaten, who also need his love and compassion. God grant you to cling in faith to your compassionate and merciful neighbor, your Good Samaritan, your Lord and Savior Jesus, through whose merit you inherit eternal life. And God grant and empower you to be a merciful and compassionate neighbor to those he brings into your life. In Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.